Tipping Point with Zach Yenser is a paid program. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of KVOI or any organization the host is affiliated with.
Good morning, Tucson. Welcome. It is January 13th, a Monday. Happy Monday to you. This is Zach Yenser, your host of Tipping Point, where every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10, we talk in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. It's a big Monday today. Everybody I'm talking to so far is hitting the ground running. In some cases, like our guest here in a minute, she's hit the road already on the road this morning, heading up to Phoenix for the convening of the 54th Arizona State Legislature, the second assembly. But we're going to talk about with Arizona Corporation Commissioner Leah Marquez Peterson here in a second about the TEP rate case that has a couple public hearings this month. We talked about that a little bit last week. We'll refresh that here today. And then we'll also talk a little bit about some of the issues surrounding the 54th state legislature. This is the second year of those legislators' terms. It's going to be a shorter session, so we can have an election, shall we say, this year and see if we keep or change out some of those members. But in any case, that's what we're going to talk about today, as we often do on Mondays, making sense of what's happening heading into the week. What are we up to? And hope all had a great weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us. 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to give us a call here at these beautiful 1030 The Voice studios and join our conversation. But without further ado, Leah Marquez Peterson, you've pulled off, you're safe. Thank you for taking a few moments with us to update us on some ACC items and also the state legislature convening today. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Zach, for having me on your show again. And yes, I left Tucson bright and early, heading north up to the state legislature, and honored to be able to hear Governor Ducey speak about kind of his vision for this upcoming session and meet and mingle, honestly, with a lot of the different state legislators and hear about some of their priorities in this upcoming year.
Absolutely. And you offered to kind of give us a little bit of a taste of that, of what might be on the table. But first and foremost, I reached out and I know there's a lot of legal things that, you know, are put in place in terms of the depth of which you can share, but there's a couple public hearings in Tucson this month related to a TEP rate case. It's not a new proposal to the Arizona Corporation Commission. Spring of last year, TEP came forth and said, basically, look, we need to raise our rates. We're refreshing our grid. We're adding in some sustainability to it. We need more from the ratepayer. We need more from businesses. And you guys are about to take a look at that later this year, correct?
Yeah, we are. And to kind of explain to the listeners, what is the Arizona Corporation Commission? We're a 5-member board that's elected statewide. I was appointed in the spring to this commission, very honored by Governor Ducey. And what we do on the commission is ensure that we have safe, reliable, and affordable energy. We also handle business incorporations, securities fraud, railroad and pipeline safety. It's very diverse. One of the things we're best known for, though, of course, are utility rate cases. People hear a lot about that in the news. And certainly there have been a lot of articles about the TEP rate case that is currently pending. And I can give you data on it. As I said, I'm very careful because I'm in a kind of judicial/legislative role that I can't prejudge any kind of case, but wanted to give you the facts and make sure your listeners knew how they could weigh in. So what you've seen so far and been able to read about in the Arizona Daily Star is that TEP filed for their rate increase for their application. And there is a process in which the public can weigh in. There are public comment meetings. One is just this morning at 10 a.m. today on the 13th. And then we have another one on the 28th for those that work during the day and need to attend at 6 p.m. And those are held downtown in the state building at 400 West Congress. So people can come in and provide comment. But what is a rate case? I often get asked as I'm out speaking to folks and to Rotaries and different chambers and so on. In essence, the utility puts together a very robust application. It's some 150-some pages, as you can see on our website at azcc.gov, and talks about justification for their request for a revenue increase. In this case, for Tucson Electric Power, they have asked in their initial application for about an 8% increase, or about $76 million. And that would include about $114.9 million in non-fuel revenue, as well as a decrease of about $38.9 million in their revenues to pay for fuel and purchase power. Rate cases are pretty complex. Believe it or not, as a new commissioner, I actually attended a rate school as I'm learning how this process works.
There's a school for this. Okay.
There is a week-long number crunching, understanding how utilities operate. And I'll probably go back again and again because it is very complex. I mean, the larger the organization, like TEP and APS and Phoenix, I mean, it's very, very detailed, and there are a lot of interveners. What that means is there are stakeholders that sign up to be a party to this case, and they are going to participate in the many, many hearings that we're going to hold so that they can weigh in and give opinion. And you've seen a lot of that play out in the press already as people give opinion that this should be reduced or that should be reduced and so on. And you can see, I think the Arizona Daily Star had an article in December, I think it was the 19th, that kind of talked about some of the action that interveners were taking already.
Incredible. And just to mention that again, we did mention this on the air last week. So if this is your first time hearing it, don't get mad at me. We tried last week, but Monday, January 13th, that's today at 10 a.m. If you are in most parts of Tucson and you're interested in going down and giving your opinion and hearing more, right, Leo Marquez Peterson, folks can go down to the State Building, 400 West Congress, room 222, is where the Arizona Corporation Commission's office here is located. 10 a.m. Is a public comment session, and again, it looks like it will be likely about an $8. That's what's been said in the news the last year, about an $8 rate increase for TEP customers per month. Let me ask you this question, Leah, and you can answer it how you need to. but there seems to be a lot more openness on the Arizona Corporation Commission to adding different forms of energy, to increasing the grid, to looking at sustainability. I think about a lot of the past conversations that you and I have had on the air, whether it's about the University of Arizona or whatever the case may be. I just remember some of the battles from even 5 or 6 years ago. It seems like the issue of renewable and sustainable energy versus some of the more natural resources that have been used seems to be a little bit less contentious. Is that a fair assessment, or how would you gauge that?
Yeah, I think that we are really in a clean energy economy now, and you see a lot of conversations, a lot of things that come before us related to wind power and hydropower and utility size solar, different things. TEP is being very, I think, innovative and doing outreach, as you see other utilities throughout the state and even water utilities looking at some of these different power generators. So I think our technology is changing so quickly. I mean, think how things were just 10 years ago, and that certainly impacts the utility industry also. So all of that kind of weighs in and is discussed as ongoing business, as well as this current rate case, this one and others that are occurring throughout the state. But I think there is a renewed interest in it. And I was on your show just a couple weeks ago as we talked about how our commission had voted in support of, I'll call it PURPA. I don't want to make it too wonky in detail, but it's a federal rule that allows renewable energy developers that are large scale to come into the state and have be able to have the utilities purchase their power at their avoided cost. And we were able to make that much more attractive for developers to come into the state. And that's a huge opportunity for rural economic development. So I'm making sure as I make my way around the state, because again, I'm in a statewide seat, that I'm letting mayors and economic development folks in rural Arizona certainly aware of this so they can do outreach. But it's exciting. There's a lot going on in the energy world.
Definitely. Leah Marquez Peterson, it looks like we can keep you on for a couple more minutes after the break. Is that still the case, or are you in a bit of a rush?
Nope, that's fine.
Oh, wonderful. Awesome. Thank you so much. And one of the things that we want to touch on that a little bit again, though there are a couple of public hearings this week and at the end of January. If you are a TEP ratepayer, there's a possibility in the spring your rates could go up. And so we're trying to actually across multiple shows kind of cover that for you because I think it's a big deal. And Leah, it's kind of interesting. Quick side note is that if you're in Phoenix, the ACC gets a ton of attention. I mean, you guys are someone called you guys the Kardashians the other day, which might be a little bit of a stretch.
But in
Phoenix, you guys get a lot of press. Doesn't really seem that there's a lot down here in Tucson unless someone's taxes or rates are supposed to go up. But we do our best here to highlight what's going on for the Tucson ratepayer here on Tipping Point. So thank you.
No, absolutely. I appreciate that.
Definitely. So we're going to go to a quick break, and then you are on your way, Leah Marquez-Peterson, Arizona Corporation Commissioner, to the convening of the Arizona State Legislature for this session, convenes today. And you'll tell us a little bit about it, some of the items that we can maybe expect to see on the horizon. We'll get into that even more later on in the show. Tucson, we're just getting started on this lovely Monday, January 13th. You're listening to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be back in a minute.
News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761. Tucson, welcome back into Tipping Point, live show here on 1030 The Voice, 9 to 10 every day, in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We're on the line with Leah Marquez-Peterson, Arizona Corporation Commissioner, the only one that hails from Southern Arizona, talking about the TEP rate case that has been in the news for about the last year and kind of reemerged here in late December, January, as we approached two public hearings. TEP, Tucson Electric Power, has submitted a rate proposal that requests permission to raise rates for expanding the grid, a kind of building for what they need, and also for some renewable energy implementation, some clean energy. All that may end up in May, it looks like, around an $8, maybe a little less, a little bit more, $8 a month increase for individual ratepayers, and I think $20 to $25 for businesses. So we're just kind of covering that to make sure it's on your radar in case you'd like to go make a public comment. And on the line is Leah Marquez-Peterson. She is on her way, not at this moment, pulled off and safe on the road, but pulled off on her way to Phoenix to not only talk about the TEP rate case, but to also share maybe a little bit of what's at least on her radar for the opening of the 54th Arizona State Legislature Assembly today, January 13th. Leah, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, Zach.
So you are en route. What are some of the things that are on your radar, either as a public servant or as an ACC commissioner? Feel free to switch the hats on and off. But as the 54th convenes, what's on our radar? What's on your radar?
You know, one of the things most of your listeners may know about me, but may not, but for the past 10 years or so, I've been the president of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber. So I left that position and was appointed by the governor last spring to the Arizona Corporation Commission. But over the last decade or so, I've attended a number of legislative openings and had lots of conversations at the state level. And one of the things I noticed most often, which was tough, was that I was often one of the only folks from Southern Arizona in those rooms or at those tables having those conversations, especially from the business community. So I'm always very sensitive to that. I was honored Friday to attend the Arizona Chamber of Commerce Legislative Forecast Luncheon that Governor Ducey spoke at, and then all of the legislative leaders. So I think, and you saw stories come out from the press after that, there were some hints and some ideas of probably the direction this session at least will start with. I think the overwhelming issue, the umbrella issue, will be the surplus that the state is seeing. It's estimated about $700 million up to, you know, or and up from that. And there's going to be, I think, a lot of discussions and arguments about where that should be spent, how much more of a cushion Arizona needs versus how much investment or buying down debt, that kind of piece. I've also heard conversations around tax cuts. What might that mean and what kind of support the governor would get if he were to propose something like that? Another big theme I heard quite a bit about is continued to be water, which is a hot issue in Arizona. The governor and legislators had a great success last session in passing the drought contingency plan and having Senator McSally and Congressman Grijalva and others support this at the federal level. But now we have recurring issues with the great development happening in Phoenix and even in Pima County. In some case, people believe the detriment of rural counties. Big developers buying farming communities or irrigation districts and pulling that in so that they can have the water rights to develop in the Phoenix area. So I think we're going to see legislators really weighing in on whether they should have greater oversight or more regulatory environment. And I'm watching that. As a commissioner, what's interesting, and most folks may not realize, but the Arizona Department of Water Resources is the quantity of water, and you've got the CAP board engaged in that. The Department of Environmental Quality is the quality of water, and we at the Arizona Corporation Commission are really kind of the distribution. We regulate the private investor-owned water utilities, and there's some 300 to 350 of those in the state. So there are different pieces of this puzzle that we all need to stay engaged in and best understand the impact on all of Arizonans. And so I'm watching a lot of the water debate and things going on and seeing where we can weigh in and where we need to make sure our voice is heard.
Absolutely. What's interesting on, I'm going back to one of the things you mentioned earlier, what I'm starting to hear, what I'm finding is that the Republicans in the majority, at least in the House, correct, if I'm correct on that, there's within the Republican Party at the state level, there's not a singular message about what to do on the budget. There's actually a lot of debate about what's the best way to use that one-time surplus and then also the continuation of it. Is that what you're hearing as well?
I am. I haven't seen, or to me it's not on my radar exactly who is leading what effort yet, but there are a lot of conversations occurring. Today is the day the governor gives his State of the State address in Phoenix, and then I think he does that tomorrow in the Tucson area. And I think people will be really listening very carefully to every word of that speech, understanding what direction he's going, where they may agree, where they may disagree. So I think there's a lot of weight on his speech. It'll happen today at 2 p.m., and I understand it's being live streamed, so people can watch it today, or I'm sure they can watch it tomorrow in Tucson.
Absolutely. And you know what I noticed, too, and you can probably back me up on this, Leah Marquez Peterson, Arizona Corporation Commissioner, the only one from Southern Arizona. But if you go on the AZ Ledge website, you can see the full calendar of stuff, agendas and bills and what's going to happen. And then there's this little button at the top of those links. It's a video camera that these things are streamed. These are live. I mean, it takes a lot of time. Most people have a life, but for any of us, maybe who have the opportunity to tune in a little bit more closely, most of these bills and reviews and things can all be watched live. Isn't that correct, to your knowledge? Or
no, that is, and it is tough to track things. Thousands of bills will be dropped over the next 5 months or however long the session's in place. It's very good, especially being from a chamber of commerce. We would track bills. Industry associations would track bills to see what would impact them. Because in many cases during the session, as a chamber of commerce, you have to be proactive, and then you also kind of got to play defense too. Look for things that would negatively impact your industry and then promote those that would positively impact your industry. So we were trying to track hundreds of bills at the same time to best understand their impact and weigh in. And I think the message I'd leave with your listeners is that not enough people weigh in or give opinion. When I would write a letter as a chamber president in the past or as a, just a constituent, they might have gotten a lot of generic postcards from a group, but really reaching out to your legislator, giving opinion, talking about how it impacts your family, your home, your business, your work, I think is really important. And now as a in a state elected position myself at the Arizona Corporation Commission, I'm happy to see that I get letters and emails from people. Sometimes I get boxes of postcards that groups have mailed in. But, I mean, I look at those, and I try to respond to everyone that I can and respond to emails and at least say thank you so much for the input and track that. And I think it's important that people speak up to our state legislators, mayor and council, and certainly the Arizona Corporation Commission also.
Absolutely. And Leah Marquez Peterson, that's a great segue to what is a half an hour that went way too fast. I can't believe we're at the end. We have a minute and a half to go. We've talked about the TEP rate case. We've talked about some of the things that are on the collective radar for the opening of the 54th state legislature here today in Phoenix. About a minute left. You set an office up here in Tucson. Makes it easier for Southern Arizona to talk to somebody from what is all but you, a Maricopa-based commission. So yeah. Where is that office? Give us the best way we can contact you about anything that we've talked about today.
Absolutely. So we're at 400 West Congress. So it's a state building downtown Tucson. I'm there about a day a week, and then I'm in Phoenix a couple days a week, but I'm happy to make an appointment and talk to folks or come out and speak to a Rotary organization or a chamber. Best way to find me is on the website at azcc.gov. And you'll see the pictures of all the commissioners right there on the homepage. If you click on mine, you can email me directly or call my office, and we can set up time to talk about utilities or railroad or pipeline or business incorporation. One thing to point out, I'm not able to prejudge a rate case, so really the best way to impact the TEP rate case in this case is to attend the public comment meeting, which is starting in about half an hour today, or again on January 28th at 6 p.m.
Leah Marquez Peterson, thank you again so much. Safe driving up to Phoenix, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it.
Tucson, we'll be back on Tipping Point. Talk more state legislature, presidential update, also education funding in Tucson. We'll see you in a minute.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Tucson, welcome back from bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages. Thanks for making your way back here to the 1030 The Voice studio. We're live. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Tipping Point is what you're listening to now. Daily in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future, as well as a proud member of a suite of shows here on the station that are committed to also helping make sense of what's going to be, no doubt, no matter who you're voting for or what you vote for, an interesting 2020 election. And so we've got double duty here on the program, on the station for the rest of the year, being a one-stop shop for that. So thanks for tuning in. Before we get going too far, there's nothing more that I love than connecting people with services that help people. And so many of our listeners here on Tipping Point and on 1030 The Voice are successful, local, small to mid-size business owners, and we take every chance to celebrate you. And I'm really hoping that 2020 is a year of growth. And if it is a year of growth, that might also include bringing on a new team member. Maybe it's a C-suite leader to accompany your skill set. Maybe it's a mid-level manager, or maybe it's just a new staff member at any level that you really need to jump in and make a difference in your business. Finding those talented professionals can be really difficult. And so I would encourage you to connect with Devin Underwood over at the Talent Store set up a time to talk with her about how you can make sure that you're hiring the right person. Hire slow, hire well, and fire fast. But hopefully if you hire the right person, you don't have to fire. Christy, an IT services CEO, says Devin's candidates were not just somebody, they were the body that we needed. Super cool. You can email email Devin to get a free 15-minute talent consultation by going to info@yourtalentstore.com in your email address line and shoot her a message. Free 15-minute talent consultation. So there you go. I hope that helps some business owners out there this year. We've got a couple of things to talk about. We're going to talk about water issues. We're going to talk about an education funding article in the newspaper. Both themes that are relevant as the 54th state legislature gets into motion today. There's some festivities today, State of the State, which is in Phoenix today, and then it'll be in Tucson tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to hearing about that. But a presidential update for you, just to keep you in the loop. And you may have heard it in the bottom of the hour news, but when we started our first segment, Cory Booker was running for president. When we ended our two-part interview with Leah, Cory Booker was no longer running for president and has suspended his presidential campaign Monday. When I heard the word suspended, I'm like, that's kind of a trick that's been used. I don't mean trick in a bad way, just you can end it or you can suspend it. And we've seen candidates suspend and then come back in later, right? That's not horribly uncommon. So when I saw the word Cory Booker suspended his presidential campaign, I went, oh, that's interesting. Maybe he'll be back. But no, he is conceding that there's no path to victory. He can't get the financial resources. He will not be on the debate stage tomorrow, the last debate before the Iowa caucuses. And so he's actually going to shift his time and resources over to running for his Senate seat here in 2020. So That's what Cory Booker is up to, and it's been interesting to hear from the Democratic candidates about how they feel about the DNC's Democratic National Committee, how they feel about the DNC's rules on who gets to make debate stages and who gets polled, and how they get polled. And there's been a lot of campaigns and a lot of candidates that said, hey, you know, there is some favoritism at play. You know, if the first two state in the nation, votes there were Iowa and New Hampshire, if they were instead Nevada and South Carolina, the results might be different. But Cory Booker was the last African-American candidate in the race. There's now only one other person of color on the Democratic side. He will not be on the debate stage tomorrow, Tuesday, but that, of course, is Andrew Yang. He's the only person of color after what started as a very diverse field. It is now whittled down to Andrew Yang. Real fast, let me also, if you are interested, I had it pulled up, and let me see here. I am just always doing so much Googling for you. Let me do this. There is a Democratic debate tomorrow, and it snuck up on me. It's the last one. We're almost to the Iowa caucuses here. I will pull that up for you in a second and tell you how to watch it. You can watch it on CNN and streaming scene. I just want to get the time for you. It will include Vice President Joe Biden, Senator Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, Tom Steyer, and Amy Klobuchar. It will air on Tuesday, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on CNN. And I think what we can certainly expect tomorrow, we can expect many things, and I won't have time to give my usual hot takes before the debate. We have a full show tomorrow. But last debate, February 3rd, Iowa caucuses coming up. Tom Steyer is back on the debate stage, and I think we're going to hear a lot of candidates try to make an argument that it's not his message but his money that is getting him on stage. This is an old number now because it's a few weeks ago, but combined, I think Bloomberg and Steyer actually put in over $200 million of ads into this race, which is just crazy. And it's starting to work, which is kind of interesting. So I think we'll see that. All right, enough of that. That was not on the agenda today. But I try to stay up on the news as we're doing the show and break to newsworthy things. And that is a newsworthy item. All right, so I couldn't have agreed more with Leah Marquez Peterson, just based on what I'm hearing. I think the big topics are going to be budget at the state legislature, budget, water, and the surplus in education. I think those themes are going to be important to talk about. And here's what's interesting. I wanted to share this. I wanted to share this with you, but the Morrison Institute did a statewide poll looking at rural Arizona, and the greatest differences they found between rural and non-rural Arizonans, this gets back to water, is that most rural residents agree that they use water efficiently and that they are worse off financially than the prior year. Right, so I just want to show, like, this is, I think, this shows the urban-rural divide. Not that we want to create a divide, but just the difference in perspective. So rural residents polled by the Morrison Institute out of Arizona State University are more likely to agree that most rural residents use water efficiently and that they are worse off financially than the prior year. Rural residents feel less strongly that trade with Mexico is an important policy issue, that we should make it easier for immigrants to come to Arizona, and that population growth is a threat to Arizona's water supply. What matters most to rural Arizonans? Top item, water quality. Top item, water quality. Rural Arizonans agree that I use water efficiently. 84% of rural Arizonans polled said that they use water efficiently. Threats to Arizona's water supply includes drought. And I bring all this up for two reasons. One is that I think, especially as we create policy at the state legislature or otherwise, statewide, we forget that there's this divide. And I still think we're seeing this divide in view, I think even play out in presidential elections. Right, I think a lot of rural Arizonans and a lot of rural Iowans and a lot of rural Minnesotans, I think, would agree on a lot of the same things. I think we're going to see some of the same trends, same themes, same concerns that propelled Donald Trump to the White House in 2016 be on center stage in 2020. But I wanted to bring this up not for presidential stuff, but actually for local stuff, for the state legislature opening today, because water, as you've heard, I've heard it multiple times this morning. We heard it from Leah Marquez Peterson. Arizona's water supply is not something that people feel especially confident about. And what I think is interesting is that most of the articles that I've seen, most of the writing, most of the conversation has really dwelled around urban areas, right? Can Phoenix maintain its urban sprawl? Can development, will development push to the edge our water supply? But what you saw in the Star this morning, and I would recommend a look at it because it came recommended to me. I just want to put that out there, is that rural groundwater is the next big Arizona water issue for lawmakers. Arizona lawmakers once again face tough questions of how to deal with increased demand for water. But the emerging problem is in areas that do not get Colorado River water, like Cochise and La Paz. In rural, many rural parts of the state, there are no limits on how much someone can take. The effective result is that whoever has the longest straw wins, unquote. Put another way, if a large farm drills a deeper well than nearby smaller farms or residents, it need not legally concern itself if those other wells dry up. This has been happening. The only question is what politicians are willing to do about it. So it's interesting. We're seeing in rural Arizona, rural Arizonans, as opposed to maybe urban Arizonans, believe that they are using water efficiently. But the little guys, right, whether it's the homeowner or the small farmer, is starting to feel pushed out by the bigger farms, like Leah Marquez Peterson said in the last segment, that are using a lot, and there's really not a lot of legal pressure to push back on that. So now we face a two-pronged problem of urban water issues and rural water issues. Will the politicians do something about it? I think that's the question going into this 54th state legislative assembly, which, by the way, only goes through May because these guys have campaigns to run, campaigns to wage. So this will be a shorter legislative session. It'll go, like I said, to early mid-May, and then they'll be done for the year. The next time they'll reconvene is the 55th. legislative session, which may have some newcomers or not. We'll see how that goes. So just some things to put on your radar. When we come back, another piece of news that broke this morning about, and I think it's some good news in a way, some new money coming into Tucson region for schools and for education. We'll get into that, and I'll share an interesting number with you that caught my attention this weekend. We are on Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. As we do most Mondays, we try to make sense of the week as we head out of the weekend. We're almost done, but not quite. Come on back, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Local and national politics, the issues that matter to you. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Tucson, welcome back. Happy Monday to you. It is Monday, January the 13th. I am your host, Zach Yenser, here on Tipping Point. Live show airs daily 9 to 10 on 1030 The Voice. In-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping the future of Tucson. And as I think we should, we've spent a decent amount of this hour looking at some of the key issues that will be on the radar for the 54th legislature here in Arizona as they convene here today, January 13th, up in Phoenix and get going. They'll be in session through early to mid-May, a bit of a shorter session as there will be an election in 2020 where they will either remain or be replaced as elections go here by the end of the year. So that's what's going on there. We talked to Leah Marquez Peterson, Arizona Corporation Commissioner, the only one from south of the Gila, that it represents Arizona on the Arizona Corporation Commission, about the TEP rate case that is being heard today and on the 28th of January here in Tucson, where TEP ratepayers may, depending on how the ACC decides, may see their individual home rates go up by about $8 a month, or if you're a business listening, your rates may go up 20 to 25, I understand it. And that's for expansion, really, of kind of their grids and services, and then also kind of a clean energy, renewable energy component of the energy they provide. So I'll keep keeping everybody in the loop as best as I can on that. I think it's important and relevant to Tucsonans listening who are serviced by Tucson Electric Power. So we covered that, and then also some water issues, and of course the breaking news on the presidential side this hour that presidential candidate, Democratic candidate Cory Booker just decided there was no path forward. He's going to switch his attention to running for his Senate seat again. And so no Cory Booker, which makes Andrew Yang the only person of color on the Democratic side. And what started out as a very diverse slate of candidates is now down to just a few. And Andrew Yang is the only non-white member of that. So I just say that from a journalistic standpoint, important to know. And that's interesting. I wanted to just discuss here real quick a little bit of news. I think it's good news in a way that came in today that Pima County Schools will receive nearly $10 million for earning top marks on statewide tests. And $7 million of a $72 million results-based funding that the state put a model on the ground for back in 2017 to basically fund school districts or award school districts money based on test results and some key metrics. $72 million is being awarded across 538 schools in Arizona. Pima County schools are getting about $10 million of that, and about $7 million is going to Tucson's nine major school districts. In TUSD, 17 schools qualified. There were no schools in Sahuarita or Marana, but Vail did receive some. Vail did receive some fundings, the most, followed by TUSD. And then also Basis is getting some funding as well. They're getting almost $3 million, $2.5 to $3 million. So that is good news. A couple of things just briefly to mention that's interesting about that is, and I actually agree, Dustin Williams was cited in this article. When I talk to superintendents, when I talk to school leaders, the only challenge with this kind of funding model is it's not complete, it's not holistic. There's a lot of schools who are, even as we speak, who are getting D's and F grades based on one or two metrics, but in many other ways are at the same time getting statewide recognition. And so I think when you base, you know, funding on test scores and performance scores, it's only one metric. And it's certainly a metric that a lot of rural schools aren't getting to, and a lot of more diverse and more socioeconomically lower socioeconomic areas aren't getting to that funding. So the other interesting item is that Basis Schools, which has nearly 16,000 students at charter schools in Arizona, received more than $3 million. I was interested to find out a number, to hear some conversation, hear a number this weekend that I think we often hear that it's either you are either all public education and anti-charter and privates, or you are all in charter and privates and hate public education. And I got to tell you, on the ground, I'm hearing a diversity of opinions around that. It's not that cut and dry. In fact, there are some public educators who would tell you that they appreciate the fact that they can't serve all needs, that they value private and charter education, that some competition in the market is healthy. Obviously, that's not every public educator's opinion, but I'm hearing it out there. The challenge is they feel like the state kind of messed up the charter model when they set it up. And it's not so much the institution, it's more of how it plays out. And the number I heard that's interesting, I've got 3 minutes, not enough time to get into it. It's a show for the other day. But this is interesting that charter and private schools get 25%. We'll say charters because they're public schools. Charter schools get 25% of state funding, but only educate 12.5% of Arizona students. And so I think that is an interesting number to look at when we look at the whole situation. Now I would put myself in the category of being pro the opportunity for parents to choose a school that they want to go to. And to me, that even means open enrollment within districts, right? That would mean, I think, that the state would allow in-district charters again. The state bans that. I think that means if you are a parent, you have the opportunity to pick which school, public, private, or charter, that matches your needs. And for example, if you are in most school districts today and you want to stick with the public school system, you have that opportunity of choice. You can say, look, I live in this neighborhood and this is the school I would normally go to, but I like this program over here. I want to go there. But I think that the way that the state weights funding, that the way that the state figures out where funding goes, is a little bit broken when it comes to charter, private, and public. And I don't think that's a political issue, although that may be a little naive. I don't think that's an R, a D, an issue, or a pro-public or anti-charter or pro-charter, anti-public. I don't think the ground is that divided. I think that there are some tweaks that need to be done. And again, I'm hearing educators say, I want kids to be educated in the best way possible. And if I can't do that, then I want someone else who can. The issue is don't leave one or the other school model out in the cold. Let's be fair, have a fair game, and have the playing field be the same. And I think that's where some of the challenges lie that I'm hearing out there. So this article that came out in the Star, where Pima County schools received nearly $10 million for earning top marks on statewide tests, kind of spurred that little conversation here on the show. But TUSD schools are getting some state money for achieving good test scores. And good results. So that's good news to get some more resources here. I want to say also, getting back to the minimum wage conversation from last week, I heard again after the show is that schools are really stretched because they're going to have to hire teachers based on the minimum wage. And there's a compression going on where older teachers are going to say, wait a second, why don't I get paid more? And the schools will have to say, we have a set limit of money. We can't pay you more. Even though we just brought in a new teacher at this number, we can't pay you higher. We're at a fixed system. So interesting to hear kind of some of what happens on the inside of our schools, our school systems, and what they're struggling with and challenged with. So that does it for us on Tipping Point. We'll be back on Tuesday at 9, as always, a full hour for you. I'm excited to talk to the team from Chicanos por la Causa, doing great community development work here in Tucson, 9 a.m. Tuesday. Bill Buckmaster coming up at noon. We'll see you later.